So welcome to our IMDb Top 250 podcast. This is me, Danielle, and
I'm Katie.
Yeah,
hello.
We're both Georgetown students. Welcome to Halftime Georgetown Voice. So right now we're going to review Silence of the Lambs, which is number 23 on the IMDb Top 250 movies of all time, I would say. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
So I think we should just go chronological order and see how that works.
Yeah, let's do it. Want to say I only finished watching the movie about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, no. It's real fresh,
So we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Sweet. So to start the movie off, I guess, we have a scene of Jodie Foster running through the forest by herself.
It's like super intense.
Really intense, yeah. The music, also the music in this movie is like, it really is a little creepy.
Yeah, it's like, it's really on point, though, because it's like she's running through the woods. It's like very horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's actually going to happen, but like...
But she's alone. Yeah. It's the woods.
Yeah.
The piano in the background. It's great.
Yeah, so we find that she's an FBI agent. She's kind of a badass.
Yeah, actually, great. When the FBI agent, like, popped out of the woods at the very beginning, I was like, oh my god, this is it. This
it's is over.
This is where it all happens. But it turns out Jodie Foster's character is actually a student in the FBI Academy, so that kind of explains that. What else? What else did you notice at the beginning?
I felt like I noticed this through the whole, I guess we can talk about this now, how she was treated through the whole movie. Like, she was hit on, like, 4 times, just
out of the blue.
And I was like, I don't like this. Like... I felt like part of it was just to make her seem, like, kind of innocent, and, like, she had that, like, doe-eyed look to her. And, like,
yeah,
but I was like, this is not okay. Like, when Dr. Chilton was like, I can show you around Baltimore, and I was like, no one wants this.
That happened right at the beginning.
Yeah.
That really, oh my gosh. Yeah, so this movie was actually made in 1991, just to give it some context, and it so I guess we should just remember that. Well, the scene is kind of set so that way you're reminded that 1991 is not that far after the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The hair, the style,
the
office buildings, they're all very, like, 80s detective show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. The feminist issues in there they're all still there.
There's a lot. Yeah. I also would just like to bring up, I find it super convenient that his name rhymes.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, Hannibal the Cannibal. Like,
wow.
Who thought of that?
Who thought of that?
Yeah, like, was that really a hard decision? Did you, like, sit, did it take you long to name him?
Yeah.
Was it like, Hannibal? That's the one.
This is what we're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. So, another thing I did notice in the beginning was that the hallway of the jail that she went into to go meet Hannibal the Cannibal for the first time looked a lot like Darnell's hallways.
Yeah.
Almost identical.
Very similar. Kind of eerie, like, wow, this is all too familiar.
Yeah, like with a washed brick, but like very institutional
and
feeling.
Like terrible lighting.
Yeah, it was, man, it was all there.
Yeah.
So that was just a connection I made.
Brought me right back.
So let's see. What else do we want to talk about? The characters.
I guess we can go to when she actually meets Hannibal for the first time.
Yes, this is such an important part.
Yeah, I just...
Great.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, like, the close-ups that they did on his... He doesn't blink, like, ever.
Never
like,
blinks.
He stared, like, right into my soul, man. it was really interesting, and I really thought he was just very cultured and, like, calm. He was kind of eerie.
Yeah, definitely eerie.
Played that real well.
Yeah, that's very true. I thought it was hilarious also that the guy told her... So I guess the premise is that she goes to meet with Hannibal the Cannibal because she's trying to study him as an FBI student. And he, the psychologist taking care of Hannibal, says, don't give away too much personal information to him. The first thing she does, she's like, I'm a student... Like, I'm from West Virginia. Like, she's just...
Do you want my social security?
Yeah. He's like, let me see your credentials. And, like, basically memorizes her, like, ID card. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was... That was a lot.
You're doing this wrong.
Doing this too much.
And he did the whole, like, I'm gonna just read all of you. Like, I just know you from right off the bat, like, the whole Sherlock or, like, Meryl Streep from Devil Wears Prada.
I got that vibe. Right away. Yeah, I was not really sure what to make of the conversation because it seemed like they were trying to make it seem all psychological, but it was also just like, I was just sitting there like kind of waiting for it to end.
Yeah.
Like, it was a little too forced, but maybe in the 90s that was like quality.
Yeah. No, I feel that. And then also I just felt like he also kind of sexualized her. Like when he was like, I smell like, what, you, like, you wear this lotion, and, like, you wear this. Okay, I was like, one, how can you smell her from that far away? That's ridiculous. And two, like, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I did not like that either. Also, his knowledge of lotion was, like, really, yeah, like, where really did he get specific. That?
Like,
oddly specific knowledge of lotion. Yeah. Yeah. That was weird also. And I don't remember, when it was, but he was also talking about her relationship to her, professor or, like, teacher, what's the word? Mentor, yeah. I guess, in the FBI. His name is, Jack Crawford. Mm-hmm. And he, like, talked about her and him, and it was just, like, weirdly creepy and, like, mm-hmm. again, like, objectifying her.
Yeah. I mean, I get what they were trying to do, but, like, also, I really liked how, like, she was strong. Like, she definitely was, like, I couldn't have held up in any of those situations, especially, like, when she went into the storage container. I was like, no, I wouldn't be, yeah. like, a mile away from there. But she also, like, she still cried. Like, she could still tell that she was scared, but she, like, pushed through it, which I liked. Because I feel like most movies nowadays, when they're, like, she's strong, she's just, like, she just cry. Like, she's not human. Yeah. She can just do whatever, and she'll be fine. And you're like, that's not really realistic, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah, but her ability to do that, that's, like, a different kind of, mm-hmm. that's cool, yeah. I also actually noticed another thing when she was going into the storage container as well. This was, like, the time before cell phones also. So she, like, handed the guy yeah. a business card and was like, the FBI knows I'm here.
Yeah.
So, like, call this number if anything bad happens. And I was like, girl's just going alone
yeah,
into,
like,
the storage container.
Like, more power to you.
Yeah, but. It was a lot. It was different. I watch a lot of, like, or used to watch a lot of crime shows, so this was just, like, the fact that she wouldn't ever be able to call from inside yeah. was, like, super weird.
Being an FBI agent must have been rough back in the day.
Yeah, how did they do it? Like, I don't know.
No. And then we can go back a little bit. This part is, like, so gross. Like, when in the jail cell, when she's leaving and the guy, like, throws, like,
oh god, no, we don't have to.
So gross. I'm sorry. I just had to, I was like, yeah. This is, and then Hannibal's like, I hate when people are, like, rude or something. And I was like, you eat people.
Yeah.
Like, what is.
His gauge for, like, what's rude is, like, very. Yeah. It's a little off.
He's, like, super polite, but also, like, you eat people. Like, I don't really know why this matters to you at this point. Yeah. Just, you do you. Like,
he's
why?
Just some weird code of ethics. Yeah. He's got one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And the part when she goes back again and they're playing, like, the gospel TV in the background. It's, like, real weird.
Yeah.
Like, why is this, like, torture?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was interesting that they made, like, gospel television real loud, like, tortures for him. Because I feel like they felt, like, kind of, like, it was kind of, like, a reference to him, like, being, like, the devil or, like, being, like, a demon. Because, like, religion will, like, cast him out or something. I don't know, like, why that would be your torture of choice.
Yeah. You know? That was interesting. I'm sure there's some deeper message
yeah.
in there. I'm sure you're onto something.
Yeah. So how do you make someone swallow their tongue just by talking?
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's gross. Most of, the, like, the bodily function parts of this.
Yeah, just.
I skipped, didn't watch, like, closed my eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, so we learn a little bit more also about Clarice's character. Mm-hmm. I guess it slowly becomes revealed that her dad was a policeman and then he died and she's definitely got some issues there. Wasn't sure how it totally, I mean, I guess it ties into her drive to become an FBI
agent.
Yeah,
a little bit, but I don't really, yeah. There wasn't like a ton of connection.
Yeah, it seemed like a little, I was just wondering how that kind of fit into the rest of the movie,
mm-hmm.
but that was interesting to learn.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, Buffalo Bill is terrifying. Is what I have down. Like, how he, that seemed too easy, how he kidnapped her. Like, don't get in the man's van, woman.
Yeah, he's, oh my god. And then he's like, how about you just step into the van? Yeah. And I was like, don't get in the van. Like,
I mean, hindsight 2020, like, we're watching it, and, like, if you were helping someone, you'd be like, oh yeah, why not? But, like, now, I'm like, why? It's nighttime, you're alone.
Like, what are you doing?
Strange man. Like, don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That, but yeah, he is a lot. That was really, really creepy to learn more about him. Another thing I noticed about the movie, which I guess Buffalo Bill is true for him too, is that they all have blue eyes,
mm-hmm.
and then they would always do really close-ups of, like, all their weird, like, it was just kind of like I felt like it was a misrepresentative, because not that many people in the population have blue eyes. Like,
we need some brown-eyed representation in this movie.
We need, there actually, I think there was an issue of representation throughout the whole movie, which I guess I'll just bring up now, because, like, the movie did get, like, from the controversy page on Wikipedia, the movie did get panned by, like, a lot of different groups, including, like, feminist groups for the ways that they blatantly killed females and skinned them throughout the whole movie. And then also by the LGBT community for, like, misrepresentation and, like, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And I guess another point is just that, like, everyone in the movie is white as well. So there's, like, pretty much everything going for it.
Definitely. I'm not, like, qualified, obviously, to speak on the LGBT thing. Like, I know they did mention that he wasn't, like, technically transgender because he just hated himself. But, like, it was still...
Yeah.
Just... It was too much, like the whole, like, wearing the suit thing.
Yeah.
That was not a fun time to watch.
It was definitely, yeah, there was some weird, there were some parts of it that there was no, like, positive representation of any of, like, I guess the minority groups. It was just, like, all of it was very questionable. Weird, so crazy. It was, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. It all started with blue eyes.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed.
Oh, when he gets, this is just, like, a weird line that he had, when they take him to the other, like, they transfer him or whatever, and he's talking to the senator, and at the end he's like, love your suit, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, wow, that was also weird. He has a weird thing about knowing, like, exactly the kinds, he kept talking to Clarice about her cheap shoes, and her lotion, he, like, knows,
he's, like, real into fashion and lotion.
He's weirdly into this stuff. Yeah. I thought that was, like, a lot. Yeah, love your suit was something. Also, that was the point where he had clearly taken the pen. Can we talk about the pen for a second?
We can talk about the pen.
Let's do that.
Because, I was like, ha! What?
So there was one point when the, his doctor, what was his name? Chilton. Frederick Chilton, who's a tool.
He's the worst.
He is the worst.
He's
the worst. He had a pen out and... Hannibal's eyes kept going to that pen, and you knew something was going to happen, and then the pen is gone.
Yeah.
And how did he get the pen?
Like, in what world?
How he is strapped down.
Yeah, the only there thing is I no can way. Think, like, this is, like, you have to fill in so many gaps about how he got the pen, because it just goes from him being in the cell, so you're assuming that he just flies straight to the thing. So, like, filling in the gaps-wise, I think I would say, like, maybe... They, like, he was strapped up because they were in there, and then they let him go, and then they strapped him back up. But, like, why wouldn't you just maybe, like, show him being released from the thing or something? Like, how?
Like, how? Yeah, seriously, they didn't show, like, make any suggestion as to how he did it except for, like, mind-bending. And that's just...
because he's magic.
And that's really unsatisfactory. There's actually a thread on IMDb, which is internationalmoviedatabase.com, called How Did Hannibal Get the Pen?
Just people discussing it.
People just wondering. Here's the description. Prior to leaving Baltimore, when Hannibal is secured with a straitjacket mask and a two-wheeled trolley, he's staring at the pen while Chilton is baiting him. In Memphis, Chilton looks for the pen but can't find it. Later, Hannibal regurgitates the pin from the pen. I forgot about this part.
Yeah, to do the
to handcuffs. Unlock his handcuffs. The next response, no one can answer this.
Yeah, no, like, literally the only way you can answer this is basically, like, he's magic. He's just, they make him so, like, he's an enigma. He can do so many things. He's so smart. And, like, he's not a wizard.
Right, yeah, I felt like this actually shows how they just, like, represent him that way the whole time and never give him, like, the human faults or, like, qualities. And it's, like, I didn't like that about him.
Yeah.
And now that he can, like, magically move pens with his mind, like, that's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. But I just want to talk about how nice his cell was in, was it Baltimore they moved from?
Yeah,
like, he had, like, artwork.
Oh my gosh.
And, like, his dinner was, like, a steak dinner. I was like, what?
I was, like, I was wondering also, like, it seemed like the government, it was a really inefficient use of government resources, like, for this one man.
Yeah.
To keep him, like, first of all, they had to transfer him, so they, like, had, like, 20 cop cars transferring him. They shut down this entire art museum just to, like, hold him in a cage. Yeah, in the center of a room. And then at one point he, like, requests a second dinner, and they're like, ugh, this man requested raw lamb chops, so we're just gonna give them to him.
We, like, have to, obviously.
Like, when was the last time I had lamb chops? Yeah. Like, I'm just saying.
Like, Hannibal gets it, but I don't. Okay. I see.
Anyway.
And so he has that little, like, partition, and, like, I'm like... Yeah. And then also, were there no cameras anywhere inside? Yeah. Like, I feel like that would be necessary for a guy like Hannibal. And then they just, like, leave the door wide open when they're, like, giving him food. I'm like, you guys, it's so bad.
It was really not great.
So many institutional failures.
That ultimately led to, well, won't give away. But anyway, yeah. So, let's see what else. Yeah, I wrote, didn't like all the fake blood. Yeah. I mean, it was fake, but it was still a lot of it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it.
Yeah. Didn't like when he was killing the cop.
Yeah. Too much blood.
Too much.
Yep.
I think he has, like, a weird obsession with main character, Jodie Foster.
Yeah, he does.
Like, Clarice. He was, like, he says, like, people will say we're in love, and you're like...
Yeah, you're like, wait, who's saying that?
Yeah, like, I don't see that. And then, I think also in the next movie, Hannibal, which they, like, recast Jodie Foster, because Jodie Foster just wasn't for it.
That's hilarious.
And like, yeah, it's like, they, like, continue with that, like, motif, which I think is, I feel like it's more interesting if they have, like, a, like, not that similar, but, like, have you seen 30 Rock with Liz and Jack, where it's, like, they kind of have, like, a back and forth thing going on, mm-hmm. but it's, like, you're not in love.
Right, but, yeah, of course, they never actually, yeah, I think that it's just, like, it was just strange, like, the ending, it leaves a lot of questions to mm-hmm. What's going to happen between them, but it's also just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then also when the police officer comes in and sees, like, all the bodies, and he's like, oh, God. He's not even, like, horrified. He's like, gosh. God. Why?
He just sits down. He, like, takes a seat.
So,
like,
resigned.
He's really just can't do it. That was great.
Not about it.
Yeah. So that was, I guess that's the whole part we can talk about without giving away any spoilers. Yeah. So you don't want to hear what happens at the end and want to watch this masterpiece for yourself.
Yeah.
It's been great having you.
Yeah, but.
So now we can talk basically, like, how the movie wraps up.
Yeah.
I
mean, I thought, going back a little bit, like, Buffalo Bill, God. like the famous line, like, it rubs dilution on its skin. It just,
yeah.
He played that really well. Like, creepy, just really, really well.
Yeah, creepy. Yeah, but he does it. There was a lot of characters, actually, in this that remind me of, like, the Joker. Like, they all kind of seem mm-hmm. to have, like, if you combine Buffalo Bill and Hannibal, it's like they both have that thing going.
Yeah. Like, Hannibal has, like, the creepy, like, talking go down. Like,
yes.
Creepy, like,
banter, mind games.
Like, mind games type thing. And then Buffalo Bill just has the straight up crazy.
The crazy part.
Just pure insanity going on for him.
Yeah, I have to give props to the girl he captured. I forget her name.
Oh, Caroline?
It was something with a C. Yeah, it wasn't Catherine. Catherine, there it was. Catherine, like, managed to, like, get the dog down there somehow.
I was like, go you.
And, like, put it in, like, she knew that was, like, his weakness. I was like, she rocks.
Like an escape plan. Like, go. Yeah. Like, congratulate. I would not have been able to do that.
No, she really killed it. Like, I actually was really annoyed with her character for a lot of it because she just, like, screamed a lot.
Oh my
just,
God.
Like, you're too loud.
Especially,
like,
when she's trying to save her and she's like, don't leave me. She's like, shut up. I'm trying to save you.
Yeah. She's like, don't leave me. It's like, you just met her. Like,
can you? Yeah.
Like, calm down. Yeah. So, anyway, I didn't like her as a character, but, like, man, she really knew what she was doing with that dog. So, like, rock on.
Yeah.
Also, the movie itself with, like, between dogs and cats, like, cats were always portrayed really nicely. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a couple of appearances. They were in the background, but they were great. And then the dog was just, like, not...
No. It was an awful dog.
it was not a good character. So I thought there was a weird, like, dichotomy there.
Mm-hmm. Dogs need good representation in movies. They always get the short end.
Like, Every time. Except for Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yeah.
I think that movie
just really made strides for dog representation everywhere, I really felt.
Yeah, they... So much support, they had 3 installments, you know?
Very important movies. If you haven't seen Beverly Hills Chihuahua... Check it out, man.
Groundbreaking
cinema.
Yeah. So I guess the movie, well, to wrap up the movie, when Hannibal calls Clarice and says that he's having an old friend for dinner.
I was like, look at you, Hannibal, with the puns.
That was so much. Yeah. It was crazy. And I guess the ending part kind of implied he was going to eat the prison director, or was it his doctor? Who was the guy?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember some guy walking by. I totally missed it. But it was pretty clear which guy he is going to have for dinner.
Definitely.
So I guess, so now the next movie in the installment is Hannibal, right? Made in 2001. So
we've really got think...
10-year
time
gap.
I think they were just milking. It's not even, like, rated as high. I really felt like they were just trying to milk it and, like, just not... I don't think it was, like, the best choice to make. And Anthony Hopkins didn't need to be in it because he's such a brilliant actor. Like, you don't need to be making a second movie. Like, go for the good roles, Anthony.
Yeah, please. You don't need this. And I think, actually, there are more movies after that. They don't stop there. So it goes Hannibal, then Hannibal Rising in 2007. And I think, no, that, so I guess there must just be three. Well, whatever it is, there are more than one, and yeah, that's a problem.
There's too many, is what the point of this is.
One too many. So, yeah, so I guess, what do you think about its placement on top IMDb movies of all time? Number 23, that's, like, 23
pretty high. Yeah. I mean, I really liked it. I thought, like, I think it just all really works well. Like, the whole, like, parallel, like, between, like, the parallel stories between, like, just, I keep forgetting her name. Jodie Foster mm-hmm. and Hannibal, and then, like, the murder mystery, including that in there, so it, like, gives it some, you know, pep. Not pep, but, like, some weight. And then I think it's actually based off of a book.
Oh, you're right. I I didn't know that.
Read, but mm-hmm. it sounds like I kind of want to read it now because the movie was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it would be worth... Yeah, so this is not my genre, so I don't really know if I'm one to, like, say... Like, I can understand why it becomes, like, a classic, I guess. Like, yeah. Like kind of something that everyone sees. I could see it definitely making the 250 list, but number 23, I think, is a little generous.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just what I think. I think it's worth watching. I really do. But probably wouldn't watch again.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, I think Anthony Hopkins' performance is just, like, worth seeing. Because he, like, does it. So, like, he doesn't blink. Like, that's so impressive. Like, he doesn't blink for, like, a good, like, 3-4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's just nailed worth that. Watching in itself. And then I felt like Jodie Foster did a good job. I just didn't really like how, like, she was strong, but she also sometimes kind of, like, she had the, like, oh, I'm a helpless woman.
Yes, she definitely played that up sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seemed like the men were also very, like, strong in comparison, I guess. So mm-hmm. There wasn't that even acting there. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting when her boss did the thing with the sheriff where he was like, I can't talk about the sexual assault with the woman in the room. And at first I was like, this is some bull.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about? And then they're in the car and he's talking about how he had to do it because, you know, they had to get rid of the sheriff. And then she's like, you didn't have to do that. Like, you have to lead by example, which is so true. So I thought that was interesting that they threw that part in there.
Yeah, that was actually, like, the only, like, pro-feminist part of the whole movie. Like, but that was good to see. I was glad that was in there. Yeah, what would we... Maybe our replacement of it on the 250 list? Like, where would we put it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that it could probably be a solid... I could see it, like, in the hundreds.
Really?
Like, maybe... Yeah, I would put it maybe, like, 140. My, like, balancing my personal opinion of it with, like, everyone else who loves it. Yeah. I think we could, like, strike a balance at 140.
Oh, wow. Okay, I would say, like, maybe late 30s, early 40s.
Okay.
I think it's a very good movie, and I think it's so, like, I feel like a part of the reason some of these are on the list is just because it's impacted. Like, it's, like, a mainstay in pop culture.
And yeah,
I
think definitely that's very fair.
It's, like, it's one of those that, like, everyone's heard of. Everyone's heard of the performance. Everyone's heard the line, like, I ate his liver with... some thought in a nice Keandi, that, like, weird noise that he does. Yeah, so I feel like it definitely has, like, permeated, like, the pop culture landscape. So mm-hmm. I think it definitely deserves, like, maybe, like, mid-30s.
That's all right.
I would say.
There you go. So I guess we can agree that it doesn't quite belong where it is now. Yeah. But, yeah, okay, that's fair. Cool.
I think we're wrapping it up.
Yeah, I think that's everything I wrote down.
So follow Halftime at HalftimeGU, I think.
Or yeah.
Something like that on Twitter. And then look at all and go on Halftime, georgetownvoice.com/halftime for more Halftime podcasts and articles. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.